Welcome to this Emergency Farmers Weekly podcast following news that DEFRA is to restrict the amount of land going into its flagship Sustainable Farming Incentive Scheme. I'm your host, Johan Tasker, and joining me to make sense of this announcement and what it means for farmers are Farmers Weekly arable correspondent Louise Impey, agronomist Andrew Wells of the Arable Alliance and the Association of Independent Crop Consultants, and George Catchpole of Farm Business Consultants Series Rural, also an independent agronomist and AICC consultant. We'll start with you, Louise. What exactly was this announcement and what's going on?
Yeah, well, I'll try and do my best, Johan. Effectively, DEFRA is putting area limits on some of the SFI actions. So six of them that they're putting limits on, and they are going to apply from midnight tonight. And they then won't accept applications where the amount of land that is entered into any combination of these six actions is above 25% of a farm's total land. So that's it in a nutshell, really.
So that's it in a nutshell, Louise. And just briefly, could you explain which of these six options are? What are they?
Well, the six options are, I mean, do we want to use their catchy codes or not? I'm not sure. We've got IGL1, which is improved grass and field corners or blocks out of management, taking them out of management, I mean. IGL2, which is the winter bird food on improved grassland option. AHL1, which is pollen and nectar flower mix. AHL2, which is the winter bird food on arable and horticultural land. AHL3, which is grassy field corners and blocks. And then the final one is IPM2, which is flower rich grass margins, blocks or infield strips.
So six options then, restrictions on the amount of land going into those. And this comes into effect at midnight on the night of the 25th / 26th of March. Important to point out that this is for new applications to the SFI, the Sustainable Farming Incentive. It doesn't affect farmers who are already in the scheme. In many ways, George Catchpole of Ceres Rural, this isn't entirely unexpected, but the speed at which this announcement has come and is moving and the detail that is gradually coming through is very quick indeed.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that it's not necessarily a surprise and something that always had the potential to come on the horizon. It has been swift in its announcement and from the time that it's going to be implemented, you know, just with sort of 12 hours notice. There'll be undoubtedly will be businesses and land managers who will be having to adjust plans moving forward and budgets accordingly.
Andrew Wells of the Arable Alliance, we're all still really, to be honest, digesting this announcement, and it was made earlier today with some more detail following this afternoon. But what are you picking up from not only, I guess, AICC members, but some of your farmer clients? What's the feeling out there?
I think the feeling so far from both colleagues in agronomy and farmers is actually this wasn't unexpected in terms of some form of limit. And actually, it's probably going to go some way to relieving some of the potential distortions to the arable farming business market that we were starting to see and starting to get concerned about with the Sustainable Farming Incentive. We know that there's about 15,000 applications being made, and I think it's very much a minority that are doing something quite extreme. But we've certainly been picking up from our farming clients, some of them tenants, some of them contractors, that there's some pressure being put on by landowners in terms of their future cropping plans. You know, half the farm in first wheat, the rest in a rotational SFI option. We don't need you to do, you know, more than half what you've been doing. So I think although this doesn't completely reduce that threat or risk, it goes some way to mitigate it and putting some balance back into the scheme.
So do you buy into this this idea then from DEFRA that this is all about making sure that farmers continue to produce food rather than go for options that are non-food producing?
I think there's an element of food production in there, and you know, looking around the part of England I work in, you've got to question how much food we're going to produce this harvest at the moment as the rain lashes down yet again. And so I think food's always on the agenda, but I also feel that it's the impact on the associated farming industry that is also being picked up by Mark Spencer in particular, in terms of what it's doing to contractors, suppliers, merchants. There's a whole industry affected by what percentage of land goes out of food production.
George Catchpole, you heard there Andrew talking about the weather. February in East Anglia has been the wettest and the warmest for a number of years, certainly, well, possibly since records began. There has been a rush of applications from growers unable to drill winter crops and then finding it difficult to get onto the land to grow spring crops or drill spring crops. There has been a rush of applications into the SFI. Do you think that this has been one of the driving factors of the government decision?
Yeah, I think it was probably the tip of the iceberg. In truth, I think prior to the poor winter conditions we've seen, we've had obviously huge reductions in basic payment, down to almost about half of what it would have been in 2020 now. We've seen you know, the drifting away of the cereal markets, combinable markets as well, married that with an increase in price of input costs. And growers, quite rightly, are looking for something else to turn to. And the SFI has come along and offered them some respite from all those pressures. So it's not surprising that people are trying best to utilise these schemes to make the books look prettier.
And Louise Impey, we have been talking about this on the Farmers Weekly podcast, on the regular Farmers Weekly podcast, that people have been looking at the SFI to de-risk their business, to sort of take some of the, I guess, heat out of the situation at a time when commodity prices have, they've come back a bit in the case of wheat, but they've been low in relation to very, very high input costs. And what with the weather, people have just sort of said, well, you know, why should I take the risk of trying to grow a cereal crop when I can put something into SFI and get a guaranteed income from that?
Oh, yes, I think it's very understandable that farmers have been taking a really good look at this. I think it's the sort of risky and more inconsistent break crops that we're probably seeing, the areas reducing of rather than cereals, rather than wheat, which is really the engine room of most arable farms. And DEFRA have always said that they would change the SFI, you know, that they were feeling their way and they were responding to what they were being told. I think one of the issues, though, for farmers now is that they've never really shown any great understanding of the sort of arable rotation workload and the timescales involved. You know, decisions have to be made more than a year ahead. And so, you know, of the 9 actions that we had available on SFI 2023, 6 of them have now been capped. So I think George made the point there that, you know, budgets are going to have to be revisited and plans, some plans will have to be started again. And that they do find very frustrating. So that's just one thing. I can understand why people might be throwing up their hands and just wondering what the hell is going on.
Andrew Wells of the Arable Alliance and the AICC, are you throwing up your hands and wondering what's going on, or are your clients? What are you saying to them? What should farmers be looking to do?
Well, I mean, I agree with what Louise has just said. I mean, it's the break crops that have been the vulnerable part of the arable rotation in terms of return and margin. And people have been looking at how they can use some of the rotational SFI options to replace some of these break crops, whether it's oilseed rape or pulse crops or whatever. And I guess it depends on your rotation and your alternative break crop. But the limitation on the pollen and nectar flower mix, the AHL 1 to 25%, I mean, it still gives you, you know, you could use that and have a 1 in 4 rotation with other combinable crops. I don't think it's that unrealistic. It's another calculation that we've got to do when we're working with clients to come up with the right mix. I think what it's doing is it's stopping making it easy for someone to take half the farm out of crop production and just grow first wheat SFI option. I mean, it is interesting that the legume fallow isn't on this list. And personally, I wonder why, because it seems to have the same effect on taking land out of production as the pollen and nectar flower mix does. But that's way above my pay grade for the decision making on that. But it's just interesting to see how we'll come to grips with these new rules and respond to them.
George Catchpole from Ceres Rural, what's your view on that? Do you agree with Andrew, or what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, I think I probably welcome the non-inclusion on that list of the legume fallow, the herbal lays and the cover crops. I think it indicates that DEFRA have recognised that those three particular actions contribute greatly to a reduced input system, whether that be livestock or combinables. This is another sort of disruption and changing of a scheme, which for instilling trust from farmers and land managers, again, it erodes that slightly. However, ultimately, I would say that we do empathise with DEFRA's decision. It kind of aligns with our view on our consultancy that we want to be helping businesses be resilient both economically and environmentally and continue production. So on the whole, we sort of empathise with that. And I think what this prevents is just large, whole-scale abandonment of production. And then the actions that haven't been included allow for a more sustainable, reduced input system.
And you say about trust. I mean, last year we had the sort of the cancellation or the more or less ripping up of the scheme last year, only to go again. And now we've had this. I mean, it doesn't really engender much. We live in this age of uncertainty. When how can you plan for a business when all of a sudden the goalposts move?
Yeah, no, it is increasingly difficult for obviously the farmers first and foremost, but us as advisors, because our advice is sort of redundant quite swiftly. However, we appreciate that they are having to adapt to an ever-changing landscape, and you know it's difficult to get your crystal ball out and foresee how schemes will unfold. So in that respect, we welcome the adaptability of it. But yeah, it does become difficult with the changes.
And Louise MP, going back to this idea that this is about making sure that farmers are primarily food producers, this is what DEFRA is saying, what Mark Spencer, Farm Minister, has said today. It is about ensuring that farmers' primary purpose is to produce food. And yet when it comes to things like energy crops, such as maize for anaerobic digestion or sugar beet for anaerobic digestion or miscanthus for renewable power stations, there doesn't seem to be any restriction on the amount of land that farmers can use for crops like that, even though ostensibly they're not really, they're not food crops, are they? They're for something else.
No, that's right. They're not food crops. And we are asking a lot of our farms at the moment, you know, energy production is another arm for them, if you like. Of course, we've always had this comment floating around in the background, you can't eat butterflies. And, you know, just at the moment, actually, that option was going to pay better than break crops. So they've had to just readjust and rethink a bit. I suspect that there will be some tenants who are really quite relieved. And two of the people on this podcast, two agronomists, they're probably quite relieved as well that some action's been taken. So, you know, we'll just have to see where they go from here. But it does make you wonder what's next.
What's next, indeed. Andrew Wells, your final thoughts then for this Farmers Weekly Emergency Podcast?
I think it comes as no surprise that we've got a limit. And I think I understand you know, the reasons why it should still allow us to put together really good SFI applications with clients. There's a huge range of options that are well worth doing, well worth considering, that aren't being capped in terms of soil management, use of insecticides, cover cropping. So, you know, the headline obviously is the capping of these six options, but in most of the applications I've done to date with clients, we wouldn't have got anywhere near these limits in reality. So I think it does affect the minority, not the majority. And I think if it helps make the scheme more sustainable and more robust going forward for the industry, then that's got to be good news.
So potentially good news then. George Catchpole, SFI, the Sustainable Farming Incentive, still worth looking at?
Absolutely. As has been said on the podcast many times before, there are a number of options in the SFI that producers, farmers can be doing that they're already carrying out and will help build huge resilience into their businesses as all the pressures we've discussed earlier and the basic payment scheme dwindles towards the future. So there's still huge amounts in it, and we're hopeful that it will help build environmentally and financially robust farming systems into the future.
Well, George Catchpole from Farm Business Consultants Series Rural, agronomist Andrew Wells of the Arable Alliance and the Association of Independent Crop Consultants, and Farmers Weekly Arable correspondent Louise Impey. Thank you very much for giving up your time on this Monday afternoon, the 25th of March 2024, and trying to help us make sense of this announcement that DEFRA is to restrict the amount of land going into its flagship sustainable farming incentive scheme. Do join us this coming Friday for our regular episode of the Farmers Weekly podcast. But for now, I'm your host, Johan Tasker. Thank you for listening.